My name is John Shuck. My website is johnshuck.com. I'm a Presbyterian minister, but I've been not with a church since the end of November. I haven't prepared a sermon since I left my church in November. Now that the whole country is doing virtual church, and since I am a virtual pastor, I thought I would create a virtual sermon for you to virtually hear. Actually, I don't believe in virtual church. They talk about it a lot. Oh, we can have church virtually. Virtual church is not a thing. Church means ekklesia. That's the Greek word, which means gathering or congregation, where flesh and blood people meet together for healing, for prayer, for breaking bread. It isn't that I'm making some kind of statement about whether or not churches shouldn't be allowed to gather during this time. I'm not making a statement about that. What I'm saying is that at least we should acknowledge that this is a loss. And wordplay is like, oh, virtual church, or we can just do virtual church. Covers and dismisses that loss. That's all. The text for this Sunday, March 15, 2020, is Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Today is March 15th, 2020. It is Sunday. It is the third Sunday of Lent. Many churches are closed. Many are offering instead virtual worship. The goal is, of course, not to gather in order to slow the spread of the coronavirus that has now been called a global pandemic. It is this pandemic that made me think about my vocation. I am no longer the pastor of a congregation, and yet I still feel like a pastor. I feel the need to be pastoral to someone. A pastor should say something about our situation from the perspective of the gospel. I wrote this on my Facebook page this past week. I'm no longer the pastor of a congregation. It would be interesting to be one at this time, but still I am a pastor at heart. However this pandemic shakes out, either with massive death and sickness, or if it fades away, pastoral care is needed, especially as we enter, in the United States at least, unprecedented isolation and grave economic hardship as our economies, especially our individual household economies, are threatened by all of the shutdowns. Perhaps we need more than anything a gospel perspective as opposed to the partisan political perspective that dominates so much of our discourse. Namely, I think we need to come to terms with fear in relation to survival and accepting anything the authorities may do, whether illusory or real, that momentarily alleviates that fear. The reality is that we all will die someday. That fear of death must be faced. Life in the gospel is living as if one is ready to die. That, of course, is the gospel's freedom. We live for this moment, for truth, for justice, for love, with courage. When we die as those who go forth to live. I'm not sure what I can offer as a pastor in this unique time for me as a pastor without a church. Perhaps I am at this point an internet pastor. I've been spending my time since leaving my last church reading, researching, and sharing what I learn from others on this Facebook page. It doesn't seem like much, but it's what I do now in this time of my sabbatical. But more I feel is coming. There is a lot inside me that needs to come out. Do know, whether you consider yourself spiritual or not, from whatever philosophy or faith tradition or none, that I will do my best to communicate what I see to be real, as uncomfortable and as controversial as that may be. I will be wrong. I will not see everything. I will get stuck in a deceitful rabbit hole on occasion, but I will seek to explore what is real and communicate that. From whatever your perspective or philosophy or faith, etc. is, you're welcome. I will do my best to be empathetic and hopefully kind as I do that. For those who find what I write and share too objectionable, then peace be with you in your journey. What will not work are attempts to silence me for following this path. I do this, and I still do it as a pastor, because I feel called to it, summoned, you might say. I have no idea what is to come for us as a country and as a world. But I know that those guides who are real for me, Jesus and Hussein, peace be upon them, are worthy of my trust. Their example and their presence that I feel is stronger, more true, and more real than the enemies of humanity, who I name here often and who I feel we are summoned to name, unmask, and engage. I guess this is all to say that I am a pastor even at this moment, a brother in faith to some, a brother in humanity to others, and I am not afraid of what is to come for us, the human species, but I'm ready and open to do what is to be done this day as a pastor. That's what I wrote a few days ago on my Facebook page. Since today is Sunday, I wondered if it might be time to write a sermon. I started with the lectionary text for today, Romans 5, 1 through 11, but my sermon didn't seem to go anywhere, although this line, again, sticks out as it always does in this section. Paul writes that we boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint. I decided not to write a sermon. But I want to say something. There's much in me that needs to come out about so many things. So much suffering is now and is on the way for many, many people, for the whole of humanity. The most vulnerable, the elderly, the sick, will be on the front lines of this virus, whatever it is. If exponential infection proceeds, as it seems to be doing, perhaps millions could die around the world, including in the United States. My prayers and my gratitude are with nurses and doctors and first responders who are caring for the sick. As Presbyterian pastor Fred Rogers, who we know as Mr. Rogers, said, "Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping." I'm taking precautions, not so much for myself, but so I don't spread the virus if I'm infected. We've been told that we can be contagious for weeks before we develop any symptoms. So I am practicing social distancing with my wife and my puppies. I don't know what this is. I have no predictions regarding this virus. In this regard, I'm just going along with the herd, but with a suspicious mind. I could repeat the information we get from the mainstream media on our screens, but you know that, as well as I do, possibly better because I rarely watch it. My intuition tells me, as well as what I've read and seen from people I trust and from my understanding of recent history, that something sinister is afoot. I was asked if this is from God as a test. That's a question for which one can never be certain, as are all questions about the workings of God. But I answered that I didn't think it was from God. Yet, in many respects, this is, as is all of life itself, a test. Is this some random freak of nature, such as the mainstream media tell us? Is this from eating wild bat in a market in China? My answer is again, I think not. That answer puts me in the category of conspiracy theorist. A conspiracy theorist, in the pejorative meaning of the phrase, is someone who doesn't believe what he or she is supposed to believe. Aristotle is said to have said that the mark of an educated mind is to be able to entertain a thought without accepting it. So, yes, I entertain many thoughts of conspiracy, but I accept only those that are true. Aristotle might have been a conspiracy theorist. The quote-unquote conspiracy theory that I entertain in this regard is that this pandemic is a combination of bioweapons psyop to push through a variety of agendas. Whether it was unleashed in a calculated way or by an accidental escape from the laboratory is a larger unknown. People I trust entertain this theory as well, and given that biological weapons are being manufactured all over the world under the auspices of governments and their militaries, it seems logical that would be the first theory any thinking person would explore. But the mainstream media, a megaphone for the elite and the powerful, will not entertain this logical theory, and instead it promotes the theory that this virus was a product of nature, random, and was transferred to humans by wild bats. This is most likely a cover story, in my opinion. The Hollywood film Contagion is a blueprint for this story. The media cannot be trusted for the truth of what is really happening. I say this with confidence. One piece of evidence will suffice for my view of the media. At 5:20 in the afternoon on September 11th, 2001, World Trade Center Tower Building 7 was imploded by controlled demolition into its own footprint in less than 7 seconds. Mainstream media has covered up this story to this day on behalf of powerful agencies that are supposed to supply truth, but do the opposite, at least in this matter, such as NIST, the National Institute for Science and Technology. The mainstream media, by this continued cover-up, shows that it has lost all credibility regarding anything of importance. Obviously, what happened on September 11th, 2001, and especially who is responsible, is of utmost importance to the human race. Those who really did it are still in control of the world today and are protected by their propaganda arm, their own media outlets. I saw a meme on Facebook that fits. Media that continues to lie about 9/11 can never be trusted to report the truth about the coronavirus. The working theory that I have is that COVID-19 was created in a laboratory for the purposes of mayhem by the usual suspects and unleashed at this particular time and manner for a variety of reasons. Those reasons I do not know, but I suspect these reasons have to do with population manipulation and control for the benefit of the world's elite. Many people I trust, and those I don't, have a number of views regarding what these agendas might be, and I find it healthy to entertain them, per Aristotle. As these new agendas are rolled out in the coming months and years, we will know, or at least those who follow Aristotle's dictum will know. The big question is whether or not the populace will know, and with knowing, will free themselves from slavery to the elites. I have decided that question is not mine to answer. I can only leave that to God. My calling or summons is to tell what I think is real to the best of my ability. That said, I do believe that there are people who have a hunch that something isn't what the mainstream media says it is in regards to all of this. And many of these folks are drawn to what conspiracy theorists entertain without admitting it to others or perhaps even themselves, that they may be right to question what we're told by official outlets. These curious people contain a spark in their consciousness that is waiting for ignition. That's my hope. But again, it's not my business. I just do my job, and my job these days is assisted by an increasing freedom from concern about what others think. Conspiracy theorists, or those who are called conspiracy theorists, do suffer. They suffer from ridicule and censorship. They suffer from loneliness and from marginalization. Some suffer actual harm from what the author of Ephesians calls the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Conspiracy theorists are like the Old Testament prophets. No one liked them then, and no one likes them now. But, as Paul says in today's lectionary text, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint. Maybe I did write a sermon after all. A sermon for conspiracy theorists and for conspiracy theorists in the making. The world needs you. You are blessed and you are a blessing. Those who believe what they're supposed to believe and who follow what the mainstream media says to believe will not be happy with me, and I'm at peace with that. There are plenty of pastors for them. But there are not many pastors for those who are not in the mainstream. Really, I'm not a pastor in my understanding of the word because I've not been called to a congregation. But as a fellow seeker of what is true, I will hopefully be a fellow traveler to you, should you decide this lonely path is yours as well. And at that, I heartily say, Amen. If you'd like to have some names to Google or Dogpile or whatever search engine you use, let me throw out a few. These are some folks who have some ideas outside of the mainstream regarding the big picture around this virus. Kevin Barrett, Anthony Hall, Veterans Today, The Corbett Report, Philip Giraldi, Scott Bennett, Helen Byniski, Francis Boyle, Spiro Skouras, Joseph Mercola, Whitney Webb, Larry Romanoff, Peter Koenig, Ron Paul, and David Icke. Just some. Check them out. We might use this time in which we are to be socially isolated and flattening the curve to do some research on our own about what is real. Thanks for listening. I'm John Schuck. My website is johnschuck.com, where you can read this sermon as well as see links to all those names I mentioned.